Today's guest is Stacy Klein. Stacy was raised on a dairy farm in Trempealeau County. An Arcadian High School graduate, she was active in sports, music, theater, and many clubs, including her second trip to Washington, D.C. for Project Close Up. She obtained a degree from Carthage College in Kenosha, where she double majored in music and exercise and sports science. The Milwaukee area was her home for several years after college, where her career path took her in other directions, and she spent time as a member of the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus. Stacy returned to Trempealeau County, where she lives with her husband, Chad, and their daughter, Mackenzie. She has spent over a decade fighting financial illiteracy in the financial services industry while Chad works for the Army Corps of Engineers. Her three siblings are all military members. This was not an option for Stacy due to congenital heart defects, but she has a strong desire to serve. She has been part of the GET School District COVID Advisory Committee, the GET School District Strategic Planning Committee, and represents her district as a county board supervisor, where she is in regular communication with her constituents and strives to go above and beyond. Let's welcome Stacy Klein.
Good morning and welcome to the Sherrill and Shirley Show. Today's guest, I am lucky enough to have Stacy Klein. She's from Trempealeau County. She sits on the county board and Stacy is now running for a state position. She's changed recently and I'm going to have Stacy introduce herself once again because she's been on here before and I appreciate her coming back and hopefully she'll continue to do that for a long time so we can all get to know Stacy and what's going on in her district. So welcome, Stacy. Thank you for being on the Sherrill and Shirley Show.
Yeah, thank you, Sherrill. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, and then we can get started on you changing from U.S. Senate position to a state. By the way, I just want to say that I'm thrilled about that. I think that you would do a fantastic job, and I'm so excited about it. And we want to talk a little bit about you're running against a Democrat. This is not just a Democrat. This is somebody who we need to really remove, fire, as we say. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that too. Reintroduce yourself to the audience so they know what you do and where you're at and what you're going to run for.
Sure. Yep. So again, Stacy Klein, and I grew up on the west side of Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. So I grew up on a dairy farm. I went to college in Kenosha, graduated from there, and then was in the Milwaukee area for a few years. And then almost 11 years ago, I came back to Trempealeau County and live not far from where I grew up with my husband, Chad, and my daughter, Mackenzie. Since September, the middle of September, I had been running for the U.S. Senate seat. Where I was living, I really was kind of locked out from running for assembly or state senate. We have a Republican assembly rep. And then for state senate, we knew who was going to run again this next time around, which would be in a couple of years from now. So I hadn't gotten a chance to really consider those seats. So I entered the U.S. Senate race after a group of people had approached me about it. And we've had just a blast going around the state, meeting so many people like yourself. And that's just been such a joy and blessing. Then we had the new maps. The districts didn't change a whole lot, like right exactly where I live. But my husband and I, we had been looking at moving just a little bit east. We want to get further out into the country, get a couple more acres, maybe have some animals since we both grew up on farms. But yeah, after the maps changed, that opened up the opportunity for me to run for the 32nd state Senate seat. So that would be against the current incumbent is a Democrat, Brad Papp. Last week, Tuesday on the 9th, we did a 4-county tour because there's 4 counties in the district. And we went around and we announced, and that was really that was a lot of fun as well. We had a good variety, just a lot of people show up. We're excited. This district, it didn't change a whole lot. It kind of swapped some rural areas for other rural areas. It's fairly close to 50-50, maybe leans a tiny bit towards the Democrats, but we have a lot of voters who are in the middle, and I think they go more so for the candidate, not necessarily a party. So I think that sets us up for a really good chance.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think that's really what a good strategy right there is, to concentrate on those people. And many of them don't even vote many times because of that. I noticed in our county here, I looked at after the spring election, and I know spring election obviously is going to be different because this is presidential. So that could be ticket down, which is very helpful to you too. I think you're going to be a great candidate for that area. I've heard that from many people and I'm very excited. And I think it is great that this is how you do it. I mean, you network across the state. You met a lot of people in many different counties and good people that want to support you. And I think that's what's really important in this too. Talk a little bit about how the referendums, what you thought about the referendums on the spring ballot and how that went. I think that was a shock to many of us. I was very thrilled about it. It's nice to let the voters be the people who make the decision. I think that's kind of a plug for us for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really nice to see those passed. I know just overall, in the political world, there's so many issues with the amount of money that gets pumped into that. So Wisconsin, you know, there were definitely some questionable things that happened in the 2020 election. So, you know, people feel disenfranchised. And so I think a lot more people approach this. And of course, it's written in legalese. It has to be. So, you know, I think the Republican Party, the county parties did a really good job of getting the information out there as to, you know, just in layman's terms, what do these referendums mean? So taking the money away from, you know, private, or, you know, like private money can't come in and run our elections. It should be run by Wisconsin. We have, you know, we have a Wisconsin Election Commission. And then, you know, we also have our municipal clerks, our county clerks. You know, it really should be left with the people to run them. Because I know the WEC, those are guidelines. And so it comes down to the county clerks and municipal clerks, how those elections are run. And we shouldn't have private money interfering with that. We also shouldn't have people who are not election officials that are interfering in our elections as well.
I totally agree with that. And I'm really happy to see how it's going to change and how that's going to affect us in the future. And what really got me is talking to some of the representatives about how long it takes to get something, a referendum on the ballot. That's amazing to me that it takes two sessions, like 4 years. They started on this in 2020 after the fiasco. So they really had a mindset of this is what needs to go to the voters. And I think that's really important. And it was interesting in our county, only 37% of the people came out and voted for the spring election. That kind of hurts my stomach and it bothers me a lot that we're not doing our job getting people out to do their civic duty, because I really believe everyone who's registered to vote. We only had like 15,000 something people come out and vote. And it's so important, because if you look on your tax bill, everything on your tax bill has to do with the spring election. Those people are the ones making the decisions. So yes. All right.
Yeah, that's just like any of the other, you know, like I have two towns in my county board district and I go to their meetings usually at least quarterly. My husband's at our town board. So showing up to those, it's just fascinating. Unless there is some kind of controversial issue, there's hardly anybody, if anybody, shows up to those meetings. So you really do have a lot going on at the local level, but the majority of people don't know about that. And that gets into civics education and, you know, other areas we could go into. But yeah, and then the weather affected the spring.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. La Crosse, it sounded like in La Crosse County, it made a really big difference.
I think that's probably very true. I know that when I saw what the weather was, I voted early. Mm-hmm. I really think the whole initiative on Bank Your Vote is really important for us to start pushing that and educate people on that. And I think that we need to start getting people encouraged to do that. Vote early, because we don't know what'll happen. Who would have thought? I mean, I had people telling me, oh, April 2nd, there's not going to be any snowstorm. Boom. We had a snowstorm. And I remember talking to one of the representatives and he said he was on the treadmill at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon thinking, great, now I got to drive all the way out to so-and-so to vote. And then I'll come all the way back in to go grocery shopping and get my son, you know, from school. And I was like, yeah, early voting. It's the key. And it really is. And it's been around a long time. It's, you know, absentee ballots have been around for a very long time. And you do have to authorize who you are. I mean, I've had to scan my driver's license and put it online. But I usually now just go and vote early. I just go over one morning and, you know, there's no line, there's no waiting. And I go in and I vote and I'm done and I feel good about it. So I think that's really a good thing. And I've told people that all along, please just go vote, go early. And it's really essential that we get out and get the vote out. Really concerned about the fall elections. And I think a lot of us are. We're concerned about what's going on in the world. And I obviously, with you running priorly for a federal position, you're very knowledgeable on all that information too. So, and what's going on in the world is we're like on fire right now. Mm. So let's talk more about state issues, because that, to me, I'm more of a, you know, local, political, and then the state, because that's what concerns me the most, is our, what goes on in our government in the state. And we've had a lot of issues with the governor because he is a Democrat. I'm not against having split government. there's three tiers, but right now we've got two against one. No matter what, they have become well known as a liberal Supreme Court. It's unfortunate for us. But as somebody running for state Senate, what are some of the issues that you want to focus on for the electorate out here?
Sure. So 80-90% of what gets passed at the state level is bipartisan. And we have plenty of those issues that we can focus on. What I'm hearing throughout, especially the La Crosse area, are the roads. I know being part of the county ambassador program with the county board, we were lobbying. We go down, I think, three times in a term, a two-year term. It seemed like roads and like general transportation aids, LRIPs, ARIPs, those types of funding were always requests that we could get more out to our locals. The state funding for locals had stagnated since the 80s. The state passed shared revenue last year, which helps. It's not enough, but it helps. So we've got some work to do there. But along with the roads, I'm hearing broadband. That's an issue. It seems to be almost everywhere that you go. Especially after COVID, you know, we had so many families that had to turn to relying on, you know, just good, reliable internet. And that's not the case. You've seen our topography and the ridges and valleys, and it just doesn't reach everywhere. So I know that's something our town board is working on, getting grants so that we can extend that a bit. But that would be another focus. You know, there's also some of those more contentious issues. Like I was really disappointed that, and we knew the governor was going to do this. He tends to veto a lot of good legislation, unfortunately, protecting women's sports. We had the Women's Sports Act. The Democrats that I'm going up against voted against that. I was a high school athlete. My daughter will probably be one. She's only 10 right now, but she's quite the athlete. I can't imagine being okay with males going into the locker rooms, going into, you know, these private spaces for females. But then also, I mean, you see all these records being broken by trans athletes. I'm not opposed to having people competing. You know, we need to include everybody, but Title IX's only been around for about 50 years. I hear stories from my mom before women really had those rights and how hard they had to fight to get them. And now here we are having to fight for them again. And it's just mind-boggling that we've reached that. And I know that's going to take some time to bring that back. You know, maybe we'll just have to wait until we elect a Republican governor, you know, hopefully in the next election here in 2026, really focusing on those day-to-day issues that affect people. You know, driving on the roads, you know, it's got to be frustrating wondering, where does my tax money go when I'm hitting all these potholes and when are they going to fix this?
Yeah, it is frustrating. I know. When you hit on that, the transgender athlete thing, and it does affect people. I mean, I talk to people all the time, obviously, and it is one of the big issues that they do talk about. I did have it jotted down, but I wasn't sure if you wanted to hit on that or not. I'm glad that you mentioned it yourself. I think it's extremely important. And I was one of those, probably like your mom, that fought for Title IX at the time. I can remember not being able to play on the baseball field because the guys always had it. We had to sign up. And then if they wanted it, they got it before we got it until Title IX came around. And then it became a little more of a fair shot, uniforms and all. It made it where it was fair even playing the sports because you're playing against other female athletes. And that was what I really all for that. Right now, by letting someone who decides that they're a woman, which is not possible to be a man and then be a woman, to play against women, I think is very dangerous, actually. I'm concerned about the welfare of the women playing and these girls. If you played in any sports, and like you said, you were an athlete in school, I was too. I was an athlete all the way from grade school all the way up. When I was in the Navy, I played on the traveling team for the U.S. Navy. That really meant a lot. I look at that and I think to myself, you might as well erase that. If we'd have been playing against men, which we did practice against men many times to try to up our game, it's not the same as playing against women. Let's have it on an equal playing field. To have worry about your daughter, someone coming in the locker room, like it happened down in Sun Prairie. These kind of things are frightening. And I just think we need to start paying closer attention. And maybe that needs to go, and I did mention this to a couple of representatives and senators, that maybe this needs to go on to the next ballot initiative for a referendum. You would be shocked how many people would vote in favor of that. That not having male in female sports. I'm not against people being who they are and playing whatever sport they want. You cannot be competitive in that. And maybe they need to start their own little organization.
Yeah. And I know that's been suggested, you know, and of course it gets us more to the root issue. Why are we seeing so many more minor trans? I am one of those people who I think we are doing them a complete disservice by, we're taking away the right for this child to wait and see. I mean, so they used to utilize the wait and see method, which most kids just grow out of it. It's just a phase. But now we've taken away that right for them to have it to be just a phase and make these permanent life altering decisions. You can't go back. You can't change that. I met Chloe Cole earlier this month. Hearing her story was just heartbreaking because there were other issues there. The issues weren't addressed. And then she was just taken on down this path to completely alter her body. You know, she even said that she's not sure if she'll be able to have kids in the future. She's being tested for that. But it was just, like I said, it was heart-wrenching to listen to her story. And I really admire her strength for talking about that and bringing this to light. I also met Riley Gaines early in March. And one of the first things she asked me is if I have any kids and if I have a daughter. And I said, yeah. And I would have been, if that happened to my kid, I'd be down in that pool, you know, just ready to throw some punches. You know, and she said her parents were the same. But then she told the story about how they were threatened and gaslighted. The things that were held over their heads to keep this quiet and to go along with it was just terrible. We've got to start standing up. I mean, just enough of this. And like you said, if we're going to have that many people that are transitioning at a young age, which again, I don't agree with, I think they should wait till adulthood, then considering a third category may be a possibility. You can't be taking away the championships, the scholarships, you know, all of these great things for women that we fought so hard to get.
You know, women that are good athletes in high school, I mean, they look for scholarships. We're going to get all that taken away. And where are the feminists? They claim to be feminists, and I don't really believe they are. They don't stand for women because I don't understand it. Back in the day, there would be people yelling and hollering and screaming about this, but all of a sudden, this has become so mainstream and so normal. That's what I think is scary to many of us out here. It's very scary to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Like you said, Chloe, she's not the only one. There's so many of them. I've read their stories or I've heard their stories. It is heart-wrenching. It just rips your heart apart. And you think about that she may never be able to have a child because of something that was done to her as a child, basically. Yeah. And that's what's terrible about it. It's child abuse, basically. In my book, that's what I call it, is child abuse. And I'm not afraid to say that. We have to start speaking out and we have to start saying something about it. And we can't just go along to get along. Someone sent me a text earlier this morning about what's going on, because there's a big story out there about furries in Utah. Now, a bunch of the students have walked out. Mm-hmm. Because what you hear is administrators saying that that's not disruptive. You know, if you have kids dressing up like a cat or dog, meowing, barking, licking their paw, whatever, it is disruptive. And it's like, what happened to dress codes? If I would have told my mom, I'm going to dress up like a dog. Well, if it's not Halloween, you're not going to dress up like a dog. You know, it's like, it's one of two things. So I don't know what's going on there, but it seems very strange. And people are like, well, they're just expressing themselves. Well, express yourself at home. Don't express yourself at school because it is disrupting other children. I'm not sure where all this is coming from, but it becomes a fad. The fad when I was in school was mini skirts and go-go boots. Okay. And I'm grateful that was the fad. And my mom and dad didn't even like that fad. So I can just imagine, you know, I feel for parents. It has to be very difficult to educate your children about what's going on in the world, as well as, like, you know, your local area, and trying to focus on just getting them through school and having them be healthy. Just think that's enough. And, you know, like you said, your daughter's an athlete. It's fantastic. And I hope she continues to do that. But if this kind of thing happens, if I was a parent, I would pull my daughter right out. There's no way I would let her be in a locker room with someone who is not of the same gender. And I mean, a female.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's unfortunate that we would have to pull the girls out, or the girls would have to forfeit. It should be where this, you know, a person who's, you know, pretending to be a different sex is just, they shouldn't be allowed in these spaces. But I think one thing, you know, you kind of hinted at a little bit, because we talk about affirmation. How cruel is it to affirm a mental health disorder? Why are we affirming people feel that feelings are completely unstable? So why are we going with those to begin with? But why are we affirming someone that feels that they're in the wrong body, when really there's probably some other underlying issue that's not being addressed? Or, I mean, a lot of the kids, they're just scared to go through puberty. So somehow they have been convinced that trying to transition to a different biological sex, which you can't, is going to alleviate all of those fears. Social media, where I think there was one school where a young person, you know, was on a leash, friends or whoever were taking turns walking them around, you know, in the school, like the sidewalks in the parking lot there. And so someone filmed them and called them out for how ridiculous it was. But yeah, it is, it's trendy. I'm actually reading a book right now called Bad Therapy. It's Abigail. I can't remember the last name, but she probably
was Abigail Schreier.
Yeah.
I've seen that book recommended. Good book. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it is. And it does. It talks about how it's trendy for the young generation, where if you don't have anxiety or depression or some mental health issue, then you're the oddball out. I mean, I could expand on that for a bit. I've read half the book so far. It's really good. I think it's really cruel that we're affirming the mental health disorders instead of treating them properly. I mean, just like one of the examples I always thought about, and I saw another person talking about it on social media the other day, somebody's an anorexic or bulimic. Are you going to affirm them and say, yep, you're fat, you need to stop eating, you need to go on a diet, you need to exercise more? Like, no, you're going to help them get healthy. You're not going to take them in the opposite direction.
Good example. Very good. Well, thanks for bringing that up. And I do think that book is, I've heard it recommended from many people. Actually, I listened to a couple different podcasts, and I think Megyn Kelly really mentioned that book and had her on, and it was really a good one. And maybe that will help, you know, it will help other parents understand. Part of it too is like parents are really confused right now too. They just don't know what to do to help their kids. Seeing this happen all over, we're confused because we never, you know, face that kind of thing. Parents have never faced it. So yeah, it's very confusing. And I think some schools are dealing with it, tolerating, dealing with things differently, tightening your policies too. The policies are really important. And that's what, you know, going into state government policies, that's very important. As a state legislator, then you would be somebody who's going to be speaking on behalf of the people that are in your district is really important. And I'm sure that in your district, there's a lot of people. I mean, like you said, you know, people worry about the regular things, picking up the garbage and potholes, but they also worry about the more serious things that are happening in our schools and our school districts and with our kids. That's really mainly it, because they are our future. And that's what I try to think about, is these kids are our future, and we have to do something about it. And I'm not sure if COVID's what did all this, broke us down. I'm not sure, but something did. Something has happened where there's been a collapse, you know, and mm-hmm. we need to start building that back up again and putting some sense into it. Thank you for running. I mean, anyone who has their name on a ballot, man, gets my kudos, because it's not an easy thing to do. And I know that. And I know that you've been all over the state now. At least it's going to feel like four counties are nothing for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, well, that was part of what I've been doing this week, is listing out all of the municipalities in the district so I can get to at least one of their monthly meetings or a committee meeting, something like that, all the counties. So I'll be able to meet people on a one-on-one basis in a much easier fashion, which I'm excited about, to hear like their day-to-day concerns and having those conversations and talking about the Women's Sports Act. And I know a lot of the legislators had been referencing a poll where 71% of people agree that women's sports should be just for women. I think we're going to find much more in common as we go along. The issues at the federal level are just so dividing, and we have that in the state, but not to the extent of the federal levels. I'm excited to meet more of those people that are in the middle, maybe the more moderate Democrats who agree on these extreme issues, but then also see the value of, you know, having, I guess, speak to people from all walks of life and find those compromises, or, you know, just like we said, talking about those basic things that don't really have anything to do with our or D, making sure that we can live our lives and government stays within its parameters.
Yeah, let's fix the 70% we can all agree on, and then we'll fight about the 30% once we get the 70% accomplished. And that's fine. I mean, I can agree to disagree, and I think you can too. One of the other bills that I thought was very interesting was the parents' rights bill, and that would probably fix a lot of the issues that are going on too. That was, of course, vetoed. Mm-hmm. I saw the 22 of the Wisconsin election, of the campaign assembly bills that they tried to get through to the governor, were vetoed on election integrity. He vetoed all of them. And it's like, how do you do that? Now what's happening is Representative Krug is working across the aisle. That's really helping. If it's a bipartisan bill, you've got more strength. And I do think we should have more bipartisan bills. We should work together as much as we can.
Absolutely. And yeah, even up until the map changes, our senator has been Senator Jeff Smith, who's Democrat. And I, like I said, go down for county ambassador program, and we'd go through that information, and we would tend to have some time to talk about other things. And we'd find a lot of areas where we completely agree. You know, we've got like the solar panel farms coming in, which that's through the PSC. So if it's 100 megahertz or more, there's nothing that the county can do that goes to the state level. And basically they meet the checklist, meet all those points, and they're cleared to go. I know in our county right now, we're going to be getting an update on that, you know, just after we had the spring election, and I'm back onto the land use committee. And so we'll find out what's going on there. You know, Senator Jeff Smith, you know, we both had concerns about how this is progressing. We also talked about civics education, the severe lack right now on a per student basis. We spend about $50 per student per year on STEM, which really important, and technology, you know, that's going to be expensive to some degree, but then we spend less than a few cents. And I've actually, the other day, I heard it might even be less than that. Might be less than a cent per student per year on civics education. There's areas where we can work together. We can get focused on those. Like I said, 89% is bipartisan, and then we'll have that smaller percentage we're still going to be having to hash out at some point.
Right. Right. I'm glad to hear that. And that's how we should be. We should be talking to anybody and everybody. And if you, you know, if you don't agree on something, that's fine. We can agree to disagree and move on. Let's fight for the things that we can agree on. And we have that issue here in Wood County too, about the solar panels there. No more, you know, you could think, and I can't blame the farmers for selling their land because they're getting paid top dollar. It's horrible. What happens to them when they're no good? I know somebody in this area that worked on solar panels out in California. And he's like, yay, when they're done, they're done. And there's, you know, the snow here, there's all kinds of issues here that they don't deal with in other areas. I don't know what this is, and it's kind of frustrating, but I noticed that they're backing away a little bit on the electric vehicles. I mean, I need a vehicle that's reliable. And here, there's not a lot of charging stations. I mean, not where I live, there's not. You see some people with hybrids, and I'm not against doing other types of green energy. I am against doing something that's going to cost a whole lot more without having the return on investment. And that's just my opinion, of course.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was even somewhat of an original intention from like Elon Musk, that it was meant for cities, you know, more of that type of driving. I think one of the issues I have, well, and actually I saw on social media just the other day where someone was applying the My Body, My Choice to vehicles. We should have choice in vehicles. So, I mean, you could always play hypocrisy in so many of those areas. Looking at some of the arguments for the electric vehicles, and I mean, I'm glad that they're slowing down because so many of Americans across the country have been pushing back against this. But, you know, if our argument is clean energy, well, we still need the electricity to charge them. I don't know if people, a lot of people just don't know where the electricity comes from or what, but then you look at the precious metals that are used in the battery. Last I knew, there's no way to recycle those either. We don't know how to recycle, you know, the blades from the big wind turbines. So all these sound nice in theory, but then when you actually put them to action, they're making things worse. So we need to think more of the long term. But of course, I mean, you can get into, you know, what's the real agenda behind this?
Yeah. Well, that's way deep, Stacey.
Yeah, we won't go there.
No, we won't go there. You know, is there anything other than that that you'd like to chat about? Is there, I know I want you to tell people how to get a hold of you, how to reach you. Mm-hmm. I know that you have presence on social media and your, you know, website and stuff. I've been on it before. So maybe you could give them that information, how they can get hold of you, how they can ask you questions. There's something, you know, that they would like to really maybe help volunteer or signs. I mean, that's all going to come here soon. You're not in a primary, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right now, it looks like I'll be the only Republican running, which will be very nice.
Yes, it will. That'll be great. That's a big step right there. I know that you already have a strategy because you had it for running for U.S. Senate. So that's kind of one thing that you've got down pat. I think you have a really good network of people out all over the state in many areas. I know you'd been, what, like 42 or 50 counties, something like that you'd already been to. So that's quite a lot. And now you only have four to concentrate on to run in. And I know you asked for talk to some people that had experience in the past. So you're really on the right track here. And I think we could have a new state senator sitting right here with us.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we're going to do our darndest. I know I've been chopping at the bit just to get going again. I was used to running around crazy, traveling everywhere across the state. We're still a little bit in the transitional phase, but yeah, my website is stacyforwisconsin.com. It's the same, S-T-A-C-E-Y-F-O-R, and then spell it Wisconsin. That's not completely updated yet. People can read more about me. I was doing those opinion pieces once a week. That touches on a wide variety of issues, so people can delve into that. Those are still on there. There's an area where people can donate or sign up to volunteer. Both of those are going to be very key. We've got the county Republicans parties helping since there's no primary right now. Nomination papers are out. So if anybody wants any of those, they can always send me a message. We'll get those posted as well. So we've got a good start on those. Then social media. If you just search for Stacy for Wisconsin, you should be able to find me. So we'll get going on that a bit more. Like I said, we're still a little bit in the transitional phase of all of that. I've got some volunteers from different parts of the state who still really want to work with us and will be coming over and door knocking and doing different things like that. I'm really looking forward to, like I said, the, you know, just getting out there and speak with people, because another area I've just been very passionate about is local government, like you and I have talked about. Mm-hmm. And so having the opportunity to serve as a state senator and then also as a county board member would give us, I mean, just such great insight. And then foster those intergovernmental relationships so that we can make sure that the, you know, all this money that we pay into the state is going in the right direction. Because sometimes I think we talk about, it's mind-boggling how much goes there to the federal government. And then at the local level, we're fighting through grants, different programs to get this money back to us. And then it comes back with all these restrictions. We can't even do what we really need to do with the money. So taking a look at some of the different programs and how we could streamline that for the locals and just help them out that way. I'll be contacting all the towns in my district in the near future, getting out to their meetings And good. People can catch me on social media. We'll start posting a lot more about all of that soon.
Well, good. It sounds like you want to be sensible. You want to bring sensibility to government. That would be a good thing. Why don't we talk a little bit about, we both went to the 3rd District Caucus, the 3rd Congressional District Caucus, how nice it was. I was shocked to see that many people. I think they said there was like 221 people there. That was amazing. That was a good crowd. That's one of the largest, I think, in the state, they said. That was pretty nice to see. So that tells me that people are involved and active right now, and they want to see change. And I think that's what we need. We all need to come together, even under our big tent and maybe some differences, and work hard to get some good conservative Republicans elected to office. And the ones that are there, keep them there.
Mm-hmm. So, it was really exciting to see the number of young people, too. We had a couple of crowds represented. I mean, we, you know, one of the three that was selected as the delegates to the RNC, the National Convention, is one of our college Republicans. So it was nice to see that as well.
Yeah, I think that was pretty exciting. I think a lot of people got very excited about that, that group that stood up, the college Republicans, and there was quite a group there. I was really surprised, and that was really nice to see. And I think a lot of us sitting out there, you know, with the gray hair, like me, okay, we're sitting out there and we're going, wow, we need younger people. And as I saw that, it really brings great joy to me to think there is going to be a movement. And I saw male and female, and that was really good. I've heard lately that the leaning of male men are going more conservative. I saw basically the same amount of females up there too, and they were gung-ho. They were ready to go. This is great. And we need them out doing the energetic parades and the, you know, letting people know, hey, and they're not afraid to talk about their conservative values. And I think that's really important. And that's going to take us into the next term too. And they're going to get out there and fight hard for elections. Well, you get very excited when you're young and you're, you know, now me, I'm cynical and sit back here and I think to myself, you know, one more parade. But I still think those things are fun to do, even as a candidate. I know it's very hard. I know by the end of the day, after doing 2 or 3 parades on a 4th of July, it's hot and you're exhausted and coming home and you're just tired. I give you a lot of credit for that. So thank you for stepping up and putting your name on the ballot. And I really wish you the very best, because I think you'll do fantastic representing the area and representing the state. And that's what's really important right now.
Well, thanks, Cheryl. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm an extrovert. I love people. I have a high threshold for people. I've got a lot of patience. I know when we announced in La Crosse, one of the news stations was interviewing and asked, you know, I think it was something about communication. I definitely emphasized that, you know, if you're going to represent people, you need to be able to listen and you have to have a lot of patience. And I'm a mom, so that's definitely built up my patience. But yeah, I think it takes special kind of personalities to do well, to represent like that. And we've even talked about that through our party where, you know, everybody wants to help to some degree, and we've got to figure out what's the best role for everybody. And this has just been a really good fit for me. So we're going to go with this full force.
Good. Well, I'm really very happy and very glad. And I can't wait to see how it all unfolds here in the future. Stacy Klein running for the 32nd state Senate seat. We wish her the very best and look for her at stacy4wisconsin.com. You'll find her on social media and everywhere else. So thank you, Stacy, for joining us today. Thank you for listening to the Cheryl and Shirley Show. Like, share, listen, get it out there so we can get Stacy elected to the state Senate and 32nd district. Thanks, Stacy, for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much.